When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. You.
Tell me, is love still a popular suggestion or merely an obsolete art? Forgive me for asking this simple question. I'm unfamiliar with his heart. I'm a stranger here myself. Why is it wrong to murmur I adore him when it's shamefully obvious I do? Does love embarrass him, or does it bore him? I'm only waiting for my cue. I'm a stranger here myself. I dream of a day, of a gay warm day with my face between his hands. Have I missed the path? Have I gone astray? I ask, and no one understands. Love me or leave me, that seems to be the question. I don't know the tactics to use. But if he should offer a personal suggestion, how could I possibly refuse when I'm a stranger here myself? Please tell me, tell a stranger, by curiosity goaded, is there really any danger that love is now outmoded? I'm interested especially in knowing why you waste it. True romance is so fleshly. With what have you replaced it? What is your latest foible? Is gin rummy more exquisite? Is skiing more enjoyable? For heaven's sake, what is it? I can't believe that love has lost its glamour, that passion is really passé. If gender is just a term in grammar, how can I ever find my way, since I'm a stranger here myself? How can he ignore my available condition? Why these Victorian views? You see here before you a woman with a mission. I must discover the key to his ignition. And then if he should make a diplomatic proposition, how could I possibly refuse? How could I possibly refuse when I'm a stranger here myself?
Well, I'm happy to say that Melissa Errico is no stranger to Broadway fans across the globe. This is your host, Larry Maslon, for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the autumnal hamlet of Southampton, New York. And wouldn't you know it, lucky listeners, we have Melissa Errico today in our studio to do a survey of all the wonderful songs she's sung at Boats and Broadway theaters everywhere. Welcome, Melissa, to Broadway to Main Street.
What is a boîte? A box?
A boîte is a lovely, charming, small nightclub like 54
oh,
Below.
I like that. We need to bring
Bay
the
Street
boîte
Theater.
Back.
We
I
do.
Think.
I think you're
yeah,
the person
the boîte
to do
culture,
it.
Culture, actually. I like the idea. I like yep. the idea. Yes, I guess. Well, that wasn't a boîte. That was actually performed with a big orchestra at Abbey Road Studio in London. That last track. So.
And that was One Touch of Venus, which rocketed you to fame at Encores at City Center. I remember it like it was yesterday. All our fans in Ozone Park loved that show.
Oh, well, look at you. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your sentimental musical education. One of the next tracks we picked was something you said influenced you. To me, she is dynamite. I play her practically every week. I think she's one of the great voices of the 20th century.
Sarah Vaughan. There's, you know, everybody comes to music differently. I don't really know how, but my father always loved jazz, and he always loved standards. And there's something about the CDs that he brought into the house that influenced me. And Sarah Vaughan's music and the way she breathes and the intimacy that she creates with her voice.
And why the Brazilian Romance album out of, 35 years of recording? Does that mean something to you in particular?
I think, well, the album itself to me always it hangs together as the great escape, really.
Mm. All right. Let's hear Sarah Vaughan. Puts you on the beach with a caipirinha in your hand, doesn't it?
I mean, my God, yeah.
Now, your first Broadway experience, I gather, was a transformational one from an audience point of view.
Yeah, I was a little girl, and I used to like a lot of different things. I liked gymnastics. I was sort of social. I liked my neighborhood. I liked my cat. You know, I didn't really have like a light in my eyes for anything. And on a birthday, my parents took me to the Virginia Theater. And I was turned 12. And I watched On Your Toes, a sort of jazz-ish musical by Rodgers and Hart. And I was inconsolably crying in my chair. And my mother said, Melissa, what's wrong? And I said, who are these people? How did they get up there? And I know this sounds crazy. And now I have three children of my own. So I hope for them that they see something one day that's so beautiful that they want to be a part of.
Well,
and it's all I ever wanted since then was to just be a part of what I saw that day.
Well, you couldn't do more. Anything more beautiful than watch Christine Andreas and On Your Toes by Rodgers and Hart. So let's hear one of the great songs from that score.
And singers, yeah.
Look at yourself. If you had a sense of humor, you would laugh to beat the band. Look at yourself. Do you still believe the rumor that romance is simply grand? Since you took it right on the chin, you have lost that bright toothpaste grin. My mental state is all a jumble. Too good to me. How can I get along now? So close he stood to me. Everything seems all wrong now. He would have brought me mean to him.
He'd never say, go away now. I was a queen to him. Who's gonna light my way now? It's only natural.
Rodgers and Hart classic, now rendered ineffably by Melissa Errico. You've done a lot of interesting work. Obviously, you've been on cast albums, but you've done a lot of studio recordings. You've done lullaby recordings, which my son listened to endlessly. It's fantastic. And you've done some club dates and some studio work. That's such an important side, it seems to me, to your depth and your profile as a performer.
It's my fantasy, actually, would be to develop that more. I was very lucky that Bruce Lundvall, who's not with us anymore, but he was the head of Blue Note Records. He came and saw me. He was looking for more jazz artists. He came and saw me in Cole Porter's High Society, thinking the Cole Porter cast album might have a jazzy vibe or something for Blue Note. And he didn't do the cast album, but he signed me. And then he talked with me about marrying standards with great musicians, and he gave me a little money while I was living in LA, and I started to work on some demos, and I worked with Alan Pasqua, who's a great jazz pianist, and we did a demo pitch to Bruce to be signed.
But your theatrical background allows you to create little narrative shows, even if you're singing an out-of-context 3.5-minute song from By Jupiter or something like that.
Yeah, it's true. I see a song, no matter what the song is, as a story. I really do. Yeah.
That's the most important part. So let's go to another show. This show involves Cockneys in England, which will have a cast a long shadow on your own career. So talk about Me and My Girl.
Oh, you know, it's funny when you said Cockney, you're not talking about My Fair Lady.
I will talk about
My Fair
Lady.
Oh, talking about Me and My Girl? Yeah. Oh, I'm so pleased to. Leaning on a lamppost on the corner of the street. I'm telling you, that changed my life. That was like, you know how some girls are, at least my children, is with all this, I don't know if it's Justin Bieber, whoever people are into. Well, for me, it was Robert Lindsay and Me and My Girl. I thought he was the most attractive, exciting. He made his entrance coming down the aisle in the Broadway production of Me and My Girl. I was done. I was a teenage girl. And he, to me, was the most attractive, dynamic man ever.
He could have been on the cover of your own Tiger Beat magazine with Robert Lindsay.
Yes,
the one girl in America who would put Robert Lindsay on the cover of Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat. This is my idea of you know, a teenage fantasy.
All right, let's hear Robert Lindsay and Marianne Plunkett from Me and My Girl.
You require a lot of looking after. one job in which I take a pride.
You can always make me smile, make my journey seem worthwhile.
Why not keep me always at your side to guide you? Hold my hand, no matter what the weather, just you hold my hand. We'll walk through life together, for you'll find in me that kind of a friend.
Who will see me through to the end? So if you hold my hand, we both shall walk more steadily.
For understand, you hold my heart already in that dreamland where I have planned that I shall hold your hand forever.
It's rather dull in town, I think I'll take me to Paris.
The missus wants to open up the castle in Capri.
The doctor recommends a quiet summer by the sea.
Resting on my ear, warm and tender, she kept me.
So My Fair Lady is one of the great Cinderella shows, but offstage it was a Cinderella story for Julie Andrews, Christine Andreas, and for you. It made your sort of golden ticket to the Great White Way. How did that happen? How did you come to the ball?
I'm sure if you asked Julie Andrews if it was the golden ticket, no, it was never easy for anyone because everyone was 22 when they played the part and the leading man is 60 something. And this is crazy. This is the weirdest time. But how did it happen? It happened with an audition. I auditioned in a mob of other girls and I had 11 auditions.
Wow.
It was
wow.
Unbelievable. They never let me relax. I had the dance audition, then this audition, then the dialect day, and then the girls from LA were brought in and they wanted to compare me. So they made me dance with all these groups of girls from LA. Then a whole group of girls came from the UK and they compared me. They just couldn't believe that this Italian girl from Long Island was the ultimate English girl.
The squashed cabbage leaf from Long Island could transform into a duchess. And how many before Richard Chamberlain was Henry Higgins?
Yes.
For most of the run. And then Kelsey Grammer?
Well, we did a, well, this is where it was, we did it, a tour.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the road for a year.
Right.
But after Broadway, and I think 6 months or whatever it was, then the next round of actors was what's his name, Michael Moriarty. He
wow.
had been very famous at that time. He was in Law and Order.
Right.
Yeah. And he was different. He was good.
Wow. He's gone. He's vanished somewhere to Nova Scotia or something.
I think he decided that America is not for him. But if he's listening, how are you?
Ka-chunk. And so what an extraordinary opportunity. And then you wound up doing things like Encores and then eventually you did High Society. So you got to, again, these amazing women whose slippers you step into, Katharine Hepburn, Grace Kelly, and you, Tracy Lord in High Society.
Absolutely. A dream. Well, this was beautiful. This is a Cole Porter musical. It was considered an original musical on Broadway. It had never been
on written
stage.
For the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. And the estates were still around. And a lot of people who knew the original material were a part of creating it. And so this was absolutely wonderful. I loved my leading man. And I think you'll be playing True Love.
Yeah.
And Danny McDonald's beautiful voice. He's no longer with us.
Yes.
And he's one of the great leading men. So it's lovely to hear his voice anytime.
All right. A Cole Porter standard, Melissa Errico.
Once upon a time, so the story goes, there lived a little well-bred girl, just perfect, I suppose. Lucky little princess, in her hand-embroidered dress, called out, "Am I a princess?" And the whole world answered, "Yes." See how well she rides, see how boys adore her. Who would not rush to turn the tides and stop the planets for her? No wonder she grew up believing she was utterly sublime. But that was once upon a time. So much fun, love was better still, but fairy tales don't seem to end the way you think they will. Happily ever after isn't easy as it looks, for happily ever after is for princesses in books. All at once the air feels a little colder, as if the world had turned its back, and somehow no one told her. In fact, until she learned this morning, life was a but that was once upon a time.
Sun-tanned, wind-blown, honeymooners at last along, feeling far above par. Oh, how lucky we are. While I give to you and you give on, it will always be true love for you.
Tracy.
Oh, hi.
The party's about to begin. No one knew where you were, so I thought I'd come look for you.
Thank you, Mike. I'll see you back at the house.
But to give to you and to give to me,
another famous held note by Melissa Errico. Let's talk a little bit about Michel Legrand. When did you were you aware of his music? You've worked on several of his projects.
Aware of his music. His music is my father. My father's a concert pianist. And my father, music was very powerful. You know, the piano itself, I would say, is the hearth of our family. Mm. I grew up knowing that music. So when I was living in LA, at the same time, actually, as pursuing a record deal with Bruce and working with the pianist I mentioned earlier, I had a Hollywood manager. I was doing some television and film, and I was handed a fax in the office. And the fax said, there's a Broadway musical workshop that's happening in New York. They'd like you to fly home for it. James Lapine wrote the book. And I looked at the paper, and it said, with music by Michel Legrand.
Oh, my God.
And I turned to this manager. I said, Michel Legrand. Michel Legrand wrote a musical. And she goes, I know. I love her. So that was the end of that relationship.
I went to
New York and never went back to that manager. But so I was to the absolute shrine of what I, so I auditioned, I got the part, and it was the greatest time ever. I did the workshop. I worshiped James Lapine. Of course, he's a great collaborator with Stephen Sondheim. I went on to get to work with him a few times. But my feeling that that someone special was in the room really paid off, because Michelle loved it. He loved the attention. He loved my singing. We loved each other. So we had fun. We did the Broadway run. It was a big bumpy mess because the set didn't work, and it was all about transcending a wall and walking through walls. But the walls didn't work. See, the man was walking through and he would get stuck and things. So the actual manifestation of magic was working, but the show was beautiful and the music is beautiful. The cast album was beautiful. Yes. And Michelle went on to say, Melissa, let us make a record, all my songs with you singing so pure on theme, but like an ocean. Like, he wanted an ocean of musicians around me, but he wanted the thing on theme. So he had this crazy idea and it happened.
Wow. So let us go to Yentl, which is maybe a very special song for you, because I guess that's the way a lot of people got to hear Legrand in the 80s.
Well, this is the goddess. I'm embarrassed to be so enthusiastic all of a sudden when I realize you're going to play Barbra Streisand, because she is the ultimate voice of his music and probably voice, period. So let us all go to that shrine.
And then we'll get to you.
Please, well, I don't even, don't bother.
Here's Babs.
There's no chill, and yet I shiver. There's no flame, and yet I burn. I'm not sure what I'm afraid of, and yet I'm trembling. There's no storm, yet I hear thunder, and I'm breathless. Why, I wonder, weak one moment, then the next, I'm fine. I feel as if I'm falling every time I close my eyes, and flowing through my body is a river of surprise. What are all these new sensations? What's the secret they reveal? I'm not sure I understand, but I like the way.
Debutantes in ball gowns, young and fancy free.
people on adventures. Not me. Other people's intrigue. Other people's sin. Why does David Niven live with Errol Flynn? Other people's secrets bursting to be told. Hotbeds of excitement. Mine's cold. Jean Cocteau and Jean Marais have fallen out with Charles Trenet. Frank Sinatra's in Montmartre in a silver Chevrolet. And where is Greta Garbo? And who is Howard Hughes? It's other people's stories and other people's news. You won't find my story in a magazine. A young girl from a convent, all of 17. Then she had a suitor, his beard was turning gray. Imagine her reaction, dismay. Mother said, be grateful, you're not to make a fuss. Love will happen later, that's how it was for us. Mother said, he's wealthy, be glad of what you get. Love will happen later, not yet. Other people's secrets bursting to be known. My mysterious husband has secrets of his own. Me, I have my daydreams until they all come true. Other people's stories will do.
She makes the starlight shine, the perfect wife, not mine. The iridescent Isabelle.
Well, now we're in a whole new thing. We're in Amour. That was the opera bouffe of Amour on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. And a darling story about a man who wakes up one day and goes to work. He is an ordinary guy. He works in the post office and his life is always the same routine. Nothing ever changes. And he walks through his door. And one day he can walk through walls. So everything becomes possible. And he's suddenly testing. He walks back and forth through the walls. And it's based on a 1945 surrealistic short story called Le Passe-Muraille, which means the man who walks through walls. Mm-hmm. So that was Malcolm Getz. You heard there at the
beloved
end.
Beloved Malcolm Getz. Now, I heard you had some set problems on opening night, according to Malcolm, like the set fell down.
Yeah, the bakery fell on the front row. It's just, you know, the best intentions. You can have this beautiful, surrealistic story and Michel Legrand's score. And if the bakery falls on the audience, they're not happy.
That's tough. I know when Phil Silvers took over as Pseudolus in the 72 revival of Forum, the set fell on opening night.
Ugh.
And he turned his back to the audience and watched the set hands, you know, pull up and lash ancient Rome together and turned to the audience and said, well, Rome wasn't built in a day. So that was the perfect setup. Edie, I read in one of listened to your 54 Below album, and you say a phrase which absolutely sent chills down my spine. I am really bananas over Edie Gourmet, as I am too. So tell me a little about her and what you think she contributes, and we'll hear a little of Edie.
Well, there's something about her that it's all substance. It's just all substance. And somehow she manages a ton of style, but there's an unguardedness about her singing. There's a freedom of emotion. The voice is wide open and ready for her, but it's unpretentious and I find her so inspirational. I feel like she latches on to a great sense of style, but all in all, it's just so truthful.
Yeah, sometimes more is more in the hands of someone who knows what they're doing.
Oh, she really
is. So let's hear from On a Clear Day, what did I have that I don't have?
What did I have that I don't have? What did he like that I lost track of? What did I do that I don't do the way I did? isn't there that once was there. What have I got? A great big lack of something in me that he could see that beckons to him no more. I'm just a victim of time. I'm so leaped in my prime, out of date and outclassed by my past. What did he love that there's none of? What did I lose? The sweet warm knacker. Wouldn't I be the late great me if I knew how? What did I have? I don't have love. What did he like that I'm not like? What was that charm?
Now, one of the great pieces you did off-Broadway was Finian's Rainbow, a score much beloved by us here at Broadway to Main Street, and you're turning to it again in October?
Yes, I am. I'm in rehearsals right now. In fact, I'm going to run off to rehearsal soon, and Finian's Rainbow is an absolutely extraordinary score and a quirky book with an amazing heart and very politically, unfortunately, very politically,
relevant, almost more so than 1947.
Yes. We open officially, I think, November 6th.
And you'll run through?
We'll run through the holidays, probably through the new year. It's at the moment, December 18th.
Okay. So let's hear a Glockamora Bird, courtesy of Harburg and Lane.
I hear a bird, a Glockamora Bird. It well may be it's bringing me a cheering word. I hear a breeze, a river Shannon breeze. It well may be it's followed me across the seas. Then tell me, please. How are things in Glockamora? Is that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donnycove through Killybegs, Kilkerry and Kildare? How are things in Glockamora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that laddie with the twinkling eye come whistling by? And does he walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way, and each lad that comes, oh, whistling to
Calais. How are things in Glaucomora this fine day?
So, Melissa, you wrote a piece over the summer, right? Weekend before Labor Day. It's gotten so much talk. It was so poignant. It was so smart about transitioning from being an ingenue. And I think you said that there has to be a kind of middle ground between a peppy ingenue and a kind of Norma Desmond character. And that seems to be a role that you're doing beautifully to fulfill. So I wonder if you could talk a little about that. And how'd you get the impetus to write it, too?
Well, I've been writing a little. I had a blog for a little while when I was going through a hard time. And then I started writing essays lately. I wrote for the Huffington Post, and I published a saucy essay about the contract negotiations with Showtime. I was on Billions, and there was some nudity involved. And I found the whole thing absolutely hilarious. Of course, it turned out to be like nothing. But the whole way in which Hollywood handles nudity and so on. So I wrote an article for, which you can find online, that for Hamptons magazine, and it was a huge piece. And the New York Times read these things, and they invited me to come. And
they read it on the jitney.
Yeah, read it on the jitney. It gets around, you know, the internet, everything gets around. And my editor, I have an editor, I was invited to write again, so we'll see where we go. But Scott Heller was talking to me, and he asked me what was going on in my life. I said, well, you won't believe this, but I've just been asked to return to Finian's Rainbow. I am too old, I said, for this part. And I said, and he laughed. He said, well, this is funny. You know, we'd gone through a few topics about cabaret, because I've done quite a bit of cabaret, and what that world is like, and how to write a cabaret. So I may do something about like that one day. But he was very interested in this idea that I felt too old for a part, and I feel a bit lost. And I said, I will do it. I said, I'll try to perk up for it and put a petticoat on. I said, but I have three kids at home, and ingenues are not usually moms. And, you know, I'm getting a little more, my figure doesn't look exactly like a girl anymore. And I look good, but I don't look like I haven't had children, you know, so I feel good and womanly, but I'm like, what happens to the women in the middle, you know, in your 40s? But there's this middle empty, this is elusive middle ground, I feel, for an actress and possibly for women in general, where if we're not the pretty ingenue, and, you know, which I've done for 30 years.
Right.
I catalog.
You played all of them.
I've played a lot. I wrote about it in the Times, you know, how I navigated being an ingenue in my teens and then my 20s and in my 30s. Things got a little sexier. And here I am in my 40s doing this again. And then what is to come now? And what will this moment be? I have no answer for it, but I was open about my age. I think it was considered so risque to simply say the number.
Mm-hmm.
I even got phone calls from the New York Times. Are you okay with this?
Wow.
I said, it's like in our culture to actually say you're 46 is outrageous, you know? So I just said it on the radio. I must be crazy. But it's okay, actually. We're all okay. We're lucky to be alive, all of us.
Well, you also mature and you become more than the sum of your life experience. And I think your talent and your ability to transition through all these careers is the way you, Melissa Errico, have kept the music playing.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I think we all have to keep the music playing. We really do.
And let's hear you singing that very same song by Michel Legrand as a way of playing out. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Keep the music playing. How do you make it last? How do you keep the song from fading too fast? How do you lose yourself to someone? Never lose your way. How do you not run out of new things? say. And since we know we're always changing, how can it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear his name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid that in your eyes I may not. We can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better, as it grows, with any luck, then I suppose the music never. Lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better, as it grows with any luck, then I suppose the music.
Where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.